Welcome to High Truths on Drugs and Addiction, where national experts bring you facts and answers. I'm your host, Dr. Ronit Lev, an emergency and addiction doctor who has served at the White House and still practices on the front lines. Right here on High Truths, you will learn from experts from around the globe and around all aspects of drugs and addiction. To grow this community of information and action, I hope you give us a five-star review. Come visit me on hightruths.com to learn more about the show or download a free prescription for naloxone. Carrying naloxone for drugs is like carrying an EpiPen for allergies. Today's episode is sponsored by Families Against Fentanyl. FAF is an organization set on attacking the supply chain of deadly illicit fentanyl. To learn more, visit familiesagainstfentanyl.org and sign their petition to declare illicit fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction. Hello again, High Truth listeners. Get ready for a social media conversation. I'm your host, Dr. Ronit Lev. Social media, as in Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and others. Social media has good, bad, but it also has evil. The good in social media is connection with people around the world, educational content, and entertainment. The bad is a distraction from the real world, habit formation, reduced attention span, misinformation, algorithms that polarize opinions, and security risk. And there's also evil. Social media is evil when it ends up with cyberbullying, sex trafficking, and imitation of self-harm behavior that's seen online. Social media is evil when it results in someone dying. One in four young people see illicit drugs advertised for sale on social media. Some of the sales are fatal. Today, in 2025, the biggest drug dealer is your cell phone. How many kids and young people died of what they thought was a Xanax or Adderall that they bought online and ended up as fentanyl? We should know that statistic by now. Twitter and Facebook were able to censor members to prevent what they claimed was misinformation about COVID. I don't think anybody was saved from that. It probably created more distrust and paranoia. The fact that users and content has been banned on platforms demonstrates that social media can control the content when they want to. So why don't they use that control to save lives and prevent drug dealing? To learn more about the harms of social media, I reached out to Sam Chapman. Sam Chapman is CEO of The Parent Collective, Incorporated, a California nonprofit operating in the areas of social media harm and fentanyl poisoning, education, and activism. Sam has done numerous media appearances and educational talks on the crisis. He has testified before the legislature and participated in congressional hearings. Currently, he is sponsoring a bill in Congress, Sammy's Law, H.R. 2657, named after his deceased son. His wife, Dr. Laura Berman, a relationship therapist, provides grief support for those left behind. To learn more about Sam Chapman and sign a petition for Sammy's Law, check out the High Truth show notes. I recorded this conversation with Sam on May 1st, 2025. Sam Chapman, welcome to High Truths.
Thank you for having me.
Very excited to have you. You do so much work honoring the memory of your son, Sammy. And let's start hearing a little about yourself and then about Sammy.
Well, I am an accidental activist, have been for the last 4 years since we lost our son to fentanyl poisoning via Snapchat. Perhaps the most interesting thing about me is that I'm married to Dr. Laura Berman, who is an Oprah person and a relationship therapist and is Sammy's mom and is now a grief specialist in addition to being a relationship expert. So she does free grief work for families who lost a child the way we did.
Yeah. And are you working? I know you work a lot on behalf of activism and fentanyl, but do you also have your profession?
No, I'm a full-time activist now. We've had a lot going on, so there hasn't been room for anything else. I'm a former venture capitalist. I also ran a PR firm, and I now use the PR ability for people in our fight We do pro bono work for families who lost a child and organizations who are in this space of social media safety or fentanyl crisis awareness.
It sounds like, as in many families, when Sammy died, your life stopped and both you and your wife pivoted in your profession and life goals.
Right. I've had a career my whole life and now I have a calling. And I worry that if I stop doing this, another child is going to die because I've been on TV 160 times warning other families. And I tell myself the story that that's really important work. And families like ours, you know, we didn't know what fentanyl was. We didn't know that Snapchat was dangerous or that social media had drug dealers and sextortionists, et cetera, on there. So we need to keep spreading the word until someone does something about this.
Yeah, that's important. And bless you for doing that. Can you tell us a little bit about Sammy? What kind of kid was he? And what happened with the whole Snapchat?
So Sammy was 16, now forever 16. He was a bruiser, a football player, went to Milken High School here in Los Angeles. We lived in Santa Monica when he died. That coincidentally is the headquarters town for Snap Inc., which will be important later in the story. He was very curious, wanted to be a businessman, was determined to go to NYU and become the world's first trillionaire, he said. We miss him dearly. This all happened one day, 4 years ago, February 7th, 2021. A drug dealer had reached out to Sammy on Snapchat and offered him something off of a colorful drug menu for free. It was a counterfeit drug. And he had something delivered. It said at the bottom, Mr. Dan 248, I deliver. Had something delivered to our house after we were asleep, like a pizza. Didn't have to leave our front yard to get the dose that killed him. We found him on the floor. His younger brother found him, unfortunately. Screamed out for us. We came running up. I performed CPR while my wife dialed 911 to no avail. And then the firemen and the EMTs showed up and they worked on him for about 45 minutes with no luck. And then the police and the coroner. And so we told the police, you know, my wife, first of all, reached out to Sammy's best friend who had a screen grab of this drug menu. So we found out what had happened. And so we told the police, let's move your cars and let's call this person and have him deliver some more and you can arrest him. And they said, that's not the way we do this. They sort of left us there. They said they'd be back in 3 months if the tox screen came through, that it was some sort of malfeasance. But basically, they treated it like an overdose. You know, we parents who are the victims of counterfeit drugs with fentanyl in them like to use the phrase fentanyl poisoning because he didn't intend to take fentanyl. And so many of the people who die, fentanyl related deaths, never meant to take it. You know, 50% of the pills sold online. These quote unquote Canadian pharmacies and other ways online and social media have fentanyl in them. And according to the DEA, 50% of those pills also have xylazine or tranq in them, which is necrotic, reduces respiration just like fentanyl does and can kill you. And if it doesn't, people are showing up in ERs with black patches of skin, and many of them have to have amputations. So it's a mess out there. And the phrase one pill can kill is really true. And, you know, the lesson for anyone out there is that if it doesn't come out of a pill bottle from your doctor with your name on it, from a bona fide pharmacy that you can trust, don't take the pill. Because yeah. This is not like when you and I were coming up, Dr. Lev, when people could experiment with drugs and not often be risking their lives.
One mistake is your last, and it's not fair.
That's right. And it's happening all over the place. And of course, you know, fentanyl is the leading cause of death now in the United States for people 45 years and younger. And many of those are children. So it's a real tragedy. So my wife went on her Instagram to warn people about the drug dealer in our neighborhood. And because she's an Oprah person, the media follows her Instagram. And we were on the NBC Nightly News the next night and here in L.A. and started to be all over the place because we were a new story. And the first family with someone famous in the couple who had this happen. And so 2 days later, three detectives showed up on our door, ready to treat it like what it was, which was a murder. And the Santa Monica police tell us that they learned on our case to treat all quote unquote overdose cases as if it's a murder scene. And they started collecting evidence and doing the things they should have done the first night. And we asked them to call Snap Inc. and find out what that profile said. And they told us that Snapchat doesn't return their calls and that they don't bother anymore. We later found out, because we're part of a lawsuit with 65 families who lost a child via Snapchat to fentanyl poisoning, that Snap Inc. has been letting the drug dealers know when law enforcement inquires about their profile. So they're actually, in a lot of ways, collaborators in these deaths.
Wow. They kind of have blood on their hands.
They sure do. And, you know, I wonder if the senior executives are aware that, you know, one day a prosecutor could be knocking on their door.
Yeah. So what was this drug profile look like? What did it look like when you said you had immediately got a screenshot of it from Sammy's friend?
Right. So it was a colorful menu with emojis, which is, you know, one of the things that the drug dealer was used to get by the online filters. They use slang and emojis. There were all these choices, you know, there was cocaine and Percocet and marijuana. You could, you know, get anything, but I imagine they all were just counterfeit drugs with fentanyl in them. They're even putting fentanyl in loose drugs now, like cocaine and marijuana. So if you're not getting marijuana from a state dispensary, you're taking a risk that you're going to die. So, you know, people think that marijuana is safe, but it isn't if you get it from a dealer or online.
Or if you use it in a bong that had fentanyl in it, and now you put marijuana in it because nobody cleans the bong, then that little residue could kill you.
That's right. It takes 2 milligrams or 2 grains of salt worth of fentanyl to kill someone who hasn't been habituated to it yet.
Now, as a parent who didn't grow up with Snapchat, and if you saw that screen, let's say you were able to see that ahead of time, would you be like, oh my God, don't do this? You would understand what it was?
That's right. And I actually called the CEO of Snap Inc. after Sammy died. You know, told him that there's something out there called third-party safety software that would have given us a warning that a drug dealer had reached out to our son and we could have intervened and saved his life. Of course, we would have stopped it. And this software on the platforms that do allow it has stopped 17 school shootings. Parents get a warning via email or text if something dangerous or illegal happens. It protects against drug dealing. It protects against sexual predation like sextortion or sex trafficking, firearm sales to minors, cyberbullying, and suicide. So it's very useful. But the platforms with our children on do not allow for it. So that's Snapchat and TikTok, Discord, the gaming platform, Facebook and Instagram. And that's, of course, where most of the drug deals are done. 75% of U.S. children are on Snapchat because the snaps disappear. So they think they can operate with impunity. And since they're all collected there, the criminals flock there as well to take advantage of the horde.
So this, okay, you're saying Snapchat, TikTok, some video games don't allow this platform, but others do, and you said their lives have been saved by it. Can you explain a little more? What does this platform do? How do you have to install it, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's an app that you download. There are about 12 companies out there. Perhaps the largest one is Bark. They have a website, bark.us. Bright Canary is another one. And the parent downloads an app. They install the app on their child's machines and on their own phone or wherever they want to get the messages. The child knows that it's on there. So that's good because they know if someone reaches out to do something nasty that mom or dad are going to get a warning. And so that in and of itself modulates their behavior. Mm-hmm. All that's required of the platforms is to open an API or a link like they do to our bank when they want to, you know, do business with us. They open these links every day, open a link to this third-party safety software industry. And so I asked the CEO of Snap Inc., you know, when I got him on the phone to integrate this software to allow it to link to his platform. And he said, no. You know, they scrape our kids' data and they sell it to advertisers for more targeted advertising. It's more efficient then. They know whether to sell a truck or a Barbie or whatever they're trying to learn about the child to get the right product advertised to the right person. So he didn't want to share that information with another company.
He could do that automatically, right? They could screen that automatically. And if I had a child with a phone, and if I installed this Bark, or what did you call it, Parakeet?
Bright Canary.
I'm going to have to write that down.
Bright Canary.
Will it work on all these apps, or is there still a loophole that won't work with Snapchat and TikTok?
Right. Until we get Sammy's Law passed. These platforms are not going to be obligated to open the link to the third-party safety software industry.
But when you say it did help some prevent some shooters and suicide, was that just on the internet? It was not on these social media apps?
It was on other apps that do allow it. And this is according to the FBI.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, did they find the dealer and prosecute the dealer who killed Sammy?
So we're in Los Angeles County, where George Gascon was the local district attorney, and he was not prosecuting any fentanyl cases. The DEA and the Santa Monica police executed search warrants and found the man who killed our son. He was actually in jail already on another charge, and George Gascon let him walk. And would not speak to us. We've not had contact with his DEAs or anyone from their office. The victims' families were not a factor. This is happening in a lot of cities around the country in the name of, social justice, if you will.
Social injustice. So, what about the victims' rights and families and other children and
Exactly. So we protested outside of Snap Inc. We protested outside of George Gascon's office, and we started pushing for someone to beat him in the latest election. Nathan Hochman, who did beat him, had his first ad in our backyard with five other angel families who lost a child to fentanyl poisoning. And he used Sammy's story in his LA Times debate. So we got the bum thrown out of office, and that's a little justice for Sammy.
Good. And what about the killer, the murderer? Does he
walks free today? We don't even know who he is. And
is that a done deal? Wow.
Yeah, that's a done deal. We've moved on to bigger things, trying to find justice for Sammy in other ways. Make sure that his young life was not a waste. And so we're pushing for a law in Congress in his name called Sammy's Law. It's House Resolution 2567, and it requires that all platforms, gaming or social media with a child as user, integrate with third-party safety software.
Right. And what's the pushback on that?
Well, so we tried to get it passed here in California, and we bumped up against the gay rights groups who are worried that an LGBTQ plus child would somehow be outed to their parents by the warnings. And they would rather protect a child from their parent than from suicide or cyberbullying or fentanyl poisoning.
Wow.
It doesn't make sense.
And that community is even more susceptible.
That's right. They get bullied three times as often as other kids.
So that's really, wow. I think a lot of people think they're being compassionate when they're really being cruel.
It's all about the money, Dr. Lev. You know, what happened was the gay rights groups didn't object to the Kids Online Safety Act, and their community went crazy saying that they're going to deny us our content online, that the duty of care in the Kids Online Safety Act would prevent them from finding their people and from reading what they wanted to read online. And so they lost money and their phones blew up with complaints. So from that point on, they've been objecting to all of these child safety online protection bills.
Wow. Which, yeah, again, thinking they're compassionate when I think it's very cruel. All right. So let's say in a perfect world, you would have this technology and every social media would be connected to a third party app. And as a parent now, I still have to work, right? I have to download the app, download it on my kid's phone, monitor it. That's asking a lot from parents in a generation who are not that tech savvy.
Not really. I mean, you said that as if it were a list, but it's really downloading an app and getting a warning.
Right. But what I'm thinking, and correct me here, is that these tech companies were able to censor people and do algorithms for COVID, right? They would like shut you down. You said something about a COVID vaccine and you were like kicked off the internet and censored. They were able to create algorithms to find that. Why can they not find algorithms to find drug dealers and stop it?
They can, of course, as you rightly point out. The reason they don't do it is because they report to Wall Street every 3 months the number of users that they have and how much engagement there is. And so they do what they can to addict the children to the platform, to get them to stay on as much as possible, as often as possible, and as many of them as possible. A company like Snap Inc. hasn't earned any money, no operating income off of all of their efforts. The only income they've ever shown is from the, you know, interest income from the money Wall Street gives them for their IPO. And so, you know, their stock price takes a huge hit if they report fewer users. So that has them sort of welcoming these criminals onto their platform, or at the very least, not kicking them off once they get on.
Isn't there a law against drug dealing through the internet?
There is. And the reason it doesn't apply right now to the platforms is because of a law called the Communications Decency Act, which was passed in 1996 when the internet was like a blackboard. You know, you can't blame a blackboard for what someone writes on it. You blame the person who writes it. right? And so Section 230C of the Communications Decency Act treats the internet like a blackboard and says you can't sue the internet companies for what someone does or says on there. But of course, now the internet is no longer like a blackboard. We have algorithms and artificial intelligence that drive the algorithms, and that affects the children in ways that are dangerous. It's interactive, it's intentional, it's not just a passive slate that you can, you know, someone can paint on or put a message on. The companies themselves are driving it. Different ways that they try and addict the kids to the platform, those are all very dangerous and very different than what was happening in 1996. So we need that revised, or putting the duty of care in there. Unfortunately, when you try and do that, the big lobbying group NetChoice, that's paid for by the internet companies, challenges what you try and do in court. And First Amendment is something else that they use, you know, saying, hey, you're limiting speech. And, you know, I guess companies can have speech in the United States. The Supreme Court's allowed for that. But there's a case in Pennsylvania's Third Circuit Court that just ruled recently in the Anderson case that these artificial intelligence and the algorithms that are driven by artificial intelligence are not human speech and therefore not protected under the First Amendment. So when that case goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court makes a ruling for the entire nation, we may have a crack in Section 230. But we're part of a lawsuit with 65 families that lost somebody via Snapchat to fentanyl poisoning. And we survived the motion to dismiss and an appeal because we took a product liability approach, which says, you know, this is a faulty product, failure to warn, negligence in addicting children to the platform, and any harm that comes from that, and 8 other allegations. So we're actually going to trial against a major social media company. It's like a modern day civil rights trial, the right to life for children. And, you know, we're hoping that the judge lets our discovery go public. There would be a strong public interest in knowing what we learn. And Snap Inc. is going to have to open the kimono to us and for the first time. So stay tuned. That's a really important trial.
I could see that as a TV series on Hulu or something, you know.
Yes.
With the family.
Well, we're doing a documentary about it. And, I'd be happy to share a clip with your viewers and listeners if you like.
I've told the story so many times that I got details in my head that are like in my brain forever.
Through Snapchat, a drug dealer got in touch with our son, Sammy, and offered him a colorful menu of drugs.
I found my brother who was on the floor and he was sprawled out. And there was like vomit on his face. I didn't think he was dead.
I just remember whispering in his ear to please breathe.
They put him in a bag, zipped him up, and they wheeled him out of there.
So Chapo and most of the organized crime leaders, they're gonna find something that's gonna give them great value, and they found the perfect one in fentanyl. The precursors will come in primarily from China into Mexican seaports. They will make fentanyl there. Now, once it crosses into the US, they'll bring it to a stash house. As soon as it gets to the stash house, it's going out to the street. How is a young teenager going to combat that?
It's hard to find a sober guy or a sober girl.
They have complete access to social media, which, as we know, is where a lot of this is sold.
We have Snapchat, Instagram, yeah. TikTok. Our dopamine receptors are just fried 24/7.
If fentanyl is the bullet that's killing our children, social media is the gun
We've joined a lawsuit with 64 other families that are suing Snap Inc.
We're pushing for Sammy's Law, which would require parent monitoring software integration on any gaming platform or social media platform that has children on it.
We're here in Sacramento at the state capitol to make people vote yes for Sammy's Law.
Dr. Laura Berman, mother and advocate for child internet safety.
I've been a therapist for 30 years, but I'm coming to you as a mama of three children, especially this one. Via Snapchat, a drug dealer found him, solicited him, and offered to deliver drugs to our house as easily as a pizza. I'm here not only in Sammy's memory, but in the memory of the hundreds of thousands of families who have suffered the same fate.
We want the people who work at Snap to know, why are these people out in front of our office? Why are they screaming and yelling and holding up pictures of their dead children? And the answer is, because you all had something to do with it.
Nothing is more powerful than an army of grieving parents willing to use that pain as purpose to make a difference. None of this is going to bring our son back. It's too late for him. We're doing this in hopes not only to save children, but to save families from having to go through this.
God is Snap! God is Snap! God is Snap!
We're back, and we're not going away.
God in the Snap. God in the Snap. God in the Snap.
There's so much injustice the more I hear you talk about that. I know the First Lady is speaking about the problems with social media and young people. Is that having an effect or the right direction in what you want to, you know, save kids from dying from drugs?
No, it is helping protect against deep fakes and sexual predation online. So it's called the Take It Down Act, and her endorsing that bill has actually moved it through the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House of Representatives. So hopefully it'll come to the floor soon and go to the Senate. Lord knows the president's going to sign it if his wife is supporting it. But what it says is that, you know, there are all of these deep fakes where they take mostly a young woman's face and they put it on a nude image and pretend like it's really a nude picture of her. So the Take It Down Act would require that when a platform is notified of one of those images, that they have to take it down very quickly. And it makes doing that, putting those images up, illegal.
Why can't they take down the drug dealers?
They sure could, but they don't want to lose the users that would go away, all of the drug dealers and even some of the people.
But they would lose it for a short time, and then people would learn not to do that.
Well, this is why we need a law, right? Because if one platform cleans up, then everyone jumps to another one that doesn't have the third-party safety software on it. So everyone has to clean up their platforms at once so that they don't give up competitive advantage to another platform. And, you know, the internet's very fungible and people will jump to something. You know, when TikTok went dark for a day, China came out with another service that was similar, and all of the young people migrated to that in a day. So we really need the legislature to stand up, or the courts to let parents like us break through. You know, the reason these companies are so big is not just because they've got this wonderful technology. It's because no one can sue them. You know, the American way is if someone does you harm, you take them to court. You don't shoot them. But we haven't been able to do that. And so we're hoping that our sort of landmark case shows the way to do product liability lawsuits against these companies. But what we really need is to revise Section 230C and let parents like us have access to the courts.
That's so important. That the president also has a federal task force to monitor content. Does that apply to selling drugs online?
So monitoring doesn't sound very strong to me.
Yeah.
You know, the question is, after you monitor it, What can you do? You know, tens of thousands of drug deals are done online every single day.
Yeah, yeah. Your phone is the drug dealer. It's astonishing that we can.
Yeah, so Snapchat is the largest purveyor of drugs online to children. Wow. I'm not sure what monitoring that is going to do. We already know about it.
Right, we need to prevent it.
Yeah, we need to put new laws in place or, give access to courts. One other way, I'm part of something called the People's Bid for TikTok, which if China ultimately sells TikTok, there's a group led by Frank McCourt, the former owner of the Dodgers, who wants to clean up the platform. He wants to buy it and then make it so that you can scrape a child's data and make it safe for kids. And so that's another possibility, is that some of these platforms actually, get purchased by someone who has a good heart or a new standard gets set somehow.
Right. I think people have gone to jail for selling drugs on social media, right? We have a young boy close to where I live, high school athlete, got into a great college and went, online to buy a Xanax, what he thought was a Xanax, and his friends, he's texting his friends. We have like records on his phone, like, don't do it. But that's too late. You just one pill killed, and that was that. And the parents had naloxone at home. And our law enforcement in San Diego does treat, fentanyl deaths like that as a murder scene. And that day, they found the dealer and put him in jail.
Well, you're right. And in San Diego, they now have Adam Gordon as the chief prosecutor, federal
prosecutor.
Shout out
to Adam. Yeah.
And he's going to do a great job. And the drug dealers better move out of town. It's a pebble in the ocean. The amount of drug deals that happen where they don't get prosecuted or get caught are just mind-boggling. And we need the technology that's delivering the drugs to stop doing it. That's really the best way. There are other ways as well. Of course, the president has put tariffs on the different countries that are part of importing and creating these substances. So there's a 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico to try and prevent them from housing the drug lords and shipping the fentanyl into our country. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 20% tariff on China to stop them from shipping the precursor chemicals over to the cartels in Mexico. They also ship the pill molds for the counterfeit drugs to them. It's sort of an undeclared war from China on military age people in the United States. And China, we found out, actually refunds the 13% value added tax to companies that make these precursor chemicals. In 2023, we lost 73,000 Americans to fentanyl poisoning, and China lost zero. So there are lots of steps in the chain of fentanyl getting to our communities where we could break the chain. And we have to look into all of those. President Trump has just eliminated the de minimis exemption, which is one of the ways that some of the precursor chemicals have been getting into the country and into Mexico.
Explain that a little bit, although we did a whole episode of High Truths on the de minimis, but it's good to have an explanation here.
That's right. It's for shipments of packages worth less than $800 don't have to go through a customs screening. And so companies like Temu, who are sending in small value items, often the packages have the chemicals that make up fentanyl, the precursor chemicals. And so the administration has just put the kibosh on allowing that to happen anymore. And it's good for small business as well, because they were you know, competing against cheap Chinese goods that didn't have to pay duty. And now they're on a more even playing field as well. So there are a number of reasons for doing this, but fentanyl was the number one reason. And
a lot of people are now screaming about the tariffs. I think it's temporary, and I'd be happy to pay a little more to save one life.
Yes, and it's a small part of the overall package. So we have about 125% tariff against China right now. And the first ones that he put on were for fentanyl, because that was the most important thing. And that's going to stay on, even if the other parts come off. But it's a small piece of the tariff war, but a very important piece. And, you know, a 25% tariff is nothing to sneeze at, but it's nothing like 125%. We have been waiting for the new administration to put this at the top of the agenda, and they really have. They have got wonderful people who, through all of their confirmation hearings, had fentanyl prevention at the top of the list of the things that they wanted to do, from the attorney general to the head of the DEA, Health and Human Services, all of the different players that have a role in this really have a laser focus. And of course, you know, the president does. We had written to President Biden with 25 angel families asking him to change policy and close the border, and you know, to no avail. Of course,
did he even respond? Did he acknowledge your?
No, he didn't. In fact, for the first 2 years in office, he didn't even say the word fentanyl in public. And we thought, since he lost his own son, that he would not let something happen in the country under his watch that would kill so many children. But of course, you know, the policies that he put in place allowed for fentanyl to flow in like never before and grow logarithmically under the Biden administration. So we're hopeful now that it's at the top of our government's agenda, that we'll see some serious abatement.
And I know, you know, Jim Rowell, Families Against Fentanyl, who really focused on declaring fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction. And with that designation, he's able to sue and collect from China or any government that is traced to deaths.
He's able to sue. I don't know about collect.
Well, he sued and he won, but he's not able to collect because it's not considered a weapon of mass destruction. If fentanyl was considered a weapon of mass destruction, you know, then he would have a better chance. And I think, you know, of all the things that is killing Americans, it's fentanyl.
That's right. And
it has been weaponized against us.
That's right. And the president has made the cartels terrorist organizations, which is something similar, right, and a very important step, and will actually allow for the Defense Department to wade in. And there's a thought that they may take out some of the drug labs across the border with or without the Mexican government's permission.
Yeah. So with Sammy's death, you started Parent Collective. And tell us what is that?
So it's a California nonprofit devoted to educating about the fentanyl crisis and other online harms, providing grief support to families that lost a child that way, like Sammy, pushing for online safety laws and fentanyl abatement laws like the Halt Fentanyl Act and Sammy's Law. We also do media services pro bono for families that want to get their children's story out there. The media always needs a human interest story to go along with the more scientific, you know, or technology oriented yeah. stories. And so we help make the match, have a full-time publicist, and the grief support is free. My wife's a therapist. She has a grief website or environment, if you will, called Dr. Laura Berman Healing.com. And, you know, parentcollective.org is our website where you can go check out our services. And also, for anyone who wants to support Sammy's Law, we have sammyslaw.org, where you can fill out a petition that'll go to your local congressman or senator, letting them know you support the bill.
Yeah, and that's very important. We'll put that in our show notes. You know, thinking about Sammy, who do you blame for having this happened?
So let's make the list. I blame China.
I think it's a list. It's not just one. Good. China's on the top, and we've learned a lot that China's not is proactive in getting set. It's not just like, oh, we don't know what's happening. It's an American problem. You Americans just love drugs. They're pushing it on our country. They're incentivizing it.
I blame the cartels. I blame the prosecutors who are not prosecuting the drug dealers. I blame the lawmakers who hem and haw and take internet money and listen to advocacy groups that are only about the money and don't protect our children. I blame Sammy. I blame myself. I blame Snapchat and the other social media and gaming platforms that are allowing for this trade to occur. And that's about the list right there.
That's a fair list, painful list.
Yes.
What do you want every parent out there in America to know? What can they do now, you know, waiting for Sammy's Laws and waiting for this technology? What do parents need to know today? What do they need to do today?
Well, just know that it can happen to you, you know, and so you want to get Narcan in your home. If it's not your own child, it could be a friend who's staying over. You never know where it's going to come at you. Most parents don't have drug addicted children. It's a poisoning. It's unintended. And it's a tragedy. So administering Narcan can be a life-saving move. It's a nasal spray. You squirt it up the nose and dial 911 because it can wear off. And so you need the ambulance to come. Even if you think your kid is fine, it wears off and they can die moments later. So there are also injectables like Zimhi that are stronger. Opvee, which is a new product that is targeted specifically at fentanyl poisoning and is strong enough to combat it. So there are remedies out there. Get one in your home. I want them to know until Sammy's Law is passed to get the username and password for all of their children's devices and the platforms that they're on. So if a kid doesn't show up at 1 a.m, you know, you can go online and see, you know, where they went or where the party is, or reach out to a friend like we did and find out what's going on. And there isn't that much you can do, but do go as long as you can, keeping your kids off social media. You know, Snapchat is the dark web for kids. So if you can keep them off Snapchat, it's not easy because 75% of children are on that platform. You know, that can be life-saving.
Aren't there ways and other apps where you could monitor your children's phone? You could see everything that they're doing?
Bark, for instance, has a safe phone. So if you give your child maybe a phone at 12 years old, give them a Bark phone. Bark.us is their website. They also have a safe smartwatch, and that'll buy you an extra year or two. They do have spyware that you can get, and you can clone the kid's device. But then, you know, you're where you were talking about, where the parent has to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
Where you're monitoring absolutely everything that's on their device to see what's dangerous yourself. And, you know, it's not like third-party safety software where it's only picking off the dangerous things and letting a parent know when there's something to worry about. It's literally monitoring it 24/7, which is not very realistic.
Right. So, Sam, thank you so much. I could see your passion. your energy, your finances, like everything that you're doing, making a blessing of Sammy's memory. And I wish you really success to you and all the other families and all the other lives to be saved by this action.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for listening to High Truths on Drugs and Addiction, where you learn from experts from around the globe and around all aspects of drugs and addiction. This week's episode would not be possible without the generous support of our sponsor. A sincere and warm thank you to FAF, Families Against Fentanyl. Visit familiesagainstfentanyl.org to learn more. High Truths producer is Dave Rivas from Davey Boy Productions. I am your host, Dr. Ronit Lev. We hope we brought your day a little bit more High Truths.